Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Pro Wrestling Index, delivered through the AI podcast channel. This one, we're going to try and keep it under 2 hours, because I have somewhere to be soon. But you might have to send a cheeky text to say I'll be late, because it is us three, and we have two shows to do, to look at. But I'll introduce my guest. Tadir, I'll start with you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, Guy. It's raining here in London, so there's that. But other than that, we enjoyed the sun while it was here.
Hi, Alex. How sunny is it in Australia?
It was pissing down today. I'm sick of winter. End my misery. I mean, the only small shred of solace is that we're in another lockdown because our state was freaking ground zero for a second wave. So I can't actually enjoy any weather outside, so it might as well rain while we're in lockdown. But as soon as lockdown finishes, Australia, you better fucking bring the sun out again. 2020 is bad enough without it. Late summer, give us our sun back. The Poms over there, at least it's raining again, so in London, so that makes me think that normalcy is returning. So soon enough.
Soon. It was 21 degrees in the northeast today. It was not pleasant. It was sweaty.
That's a muggy. Beautiful autumn day.
No, muggy. Muggy days
also,
are the worst
it's our SummerSlam bonanza, Guy. I thought this pod was going to be 5 hours to cover the 8-day SummerSlam special that we had. I don't know if you can remember. Certainly, very few of the matches that we had planned for our SummerSlam bonanza are panning out that way. Unfortunately, that amount sums up 2020.
We didn't pick it at the time, but we picked Drew v. Randy quite early on, if I remember correctly.
We did, yeah, that's true. We did, actually, yeah. We also imagined that Brock would be here, that Roman would be here, I think. Oh, maybe not.
Yes. We thought the crowds might have been back.
We thought the crowds would be back by SummerSlam, and obviously that's not panned out, so alas, we'll move on.
We do have a week-long event, though, because Payback is SummerSlam.
Exactly.
After dark?
It's hard to say.
Yes, we'll see. But we'll get into it. We're not doing news and stuff because, Christ, you, listening, don't have the time for that. We'll start with NXT. I'm on Wikipedia, but Alex seems to have a different card for SummerSlam, but Wikipedia seems to be right. There is only 4 matches to deal with. I've not watched much of NXT because even people who watch NXT say it hasn't been the best recently. But when TakeOver rolls along, it's always something you watch on a Saturday night. But to deal, I mean, not specific matches, but why has NXT been a bit different since lockdown?
I think we were kind of talking before the show, and Alex raised the point of the NXT crowd not being there. And it's such a huge, it's actually a character on the show, the Full Sail crowd, especially because it's held at the same venue all the time. They've got a lot of regulars that go there. So they kind of helped the show come along. But I think it's also been basically since NXT came to US TV, obviously to combat AEW, I felt they've lost something. I don't know if it's the fact they've gone to 2 hours when it was 1 hour before, or the fact that now that it's on, you know, mainstream TV, that it's now become more of a priority for Vince McMahon than it was before. And because we're starting to see a lot of the tropes that they use on the main roster creeping into NXT. And for me, NXT was unique in that it was so separate from main roster, and it had its own identity. And the more and more it becomes like main roster, I think the more it loses the essence of what NXT was and what we enjoyed about it. So coupled with that and the fact that the crowd hasn't been there, I think it's been really tough for them to be NXT and be the NXT that we are used to enjoying. But saying that aside, we usually know, I suppose with all WWE programming, that no matter what's happening, they tend to deliver at the pay-per-view. So we're just hoping that it's going to be one of those situations.
Mm. I mean, the pay-per-views are still live on the network, so can't get your fingers in them, can you, Vince? Alex, I mean, first match, it seems like a throwback to the first time the North American title was up for grabs in a big-ass ladder match. We just don't have five-star Lars this time. This looks like an interesting one. It's not finalised yet. We're recording Wednesday afternoon, UK time. So we're still waiting to see if it's Johnny Gargano or Ridge Holland or Finn Balor or Velveteen Dream, but out of just going off namesakes, you'd imagine it's Gargano and Balor. Bronson Reed v. Damian Priest v. Cameron Grimes v. Gargano v. Finn Balor, presumably. It's a hell of a match on paper, Alex.
Yeah, extra be the Barnstormer. I think that one, where the hell did Lars Sullivan go and how was he not released? Two, that first match was really maybe the epitome of NXT, that ladder match, that whole event. That whole takeover was just incredible. If this is going to be similar to that, the ladder match that almost looks sort of
the payback,
the sort of emulation of that match, but obviously without a crowd is obviously not going to be as good because it lacks a crowd. But I think it does show what NXT does, which is regenerate its talent extremely well. And a lot of the characters that we're seeing in here might have still been around back then. You look at Gargano, you look at Balor, even the ones that lost, you know, the likes of Dream and that. But Gargano's done a full switch into this brilliant heel character. Balor's done a full switch into the Prince. And then you've got the likes of Priest, who is weirdly a bit of a face now. I think that's because they ran out of faces. Cameron Grimes, it's been amazing lately. They're finally letting him go into full swing. And I think that it goes to show you what the good bit of NXT is. Now, I think the bit of NXT that's lacking currently is that we have this match. We have a women's match, which is relatively good. I think Dakota and Io will be fun. I think Io is getting into the swing of things as champ, and the actual match should be great. And obviously we have the main event, but aside from the Adam Cole versus Pat McAfee thing, which we're probably going to disagree on later, but there's usually at least, even if they have a five-match card, there is usually a match that is a highlight match just slightly down from the main event. Sometimes it opens the show, which you just know is going to be a killer. And it has that sort of NXT build of not being too complicated, but also still being quite gripping. You know, the sort of Matt Riddles versus Aleister Blacks, or the or a tag team match. Yeah, I mean, the tag team might be a bit complicated, I imagine, purely because they had Imperium beat the Undisputed Era, and there aren't that many tag teams around right now. But with all that being said, I think they're also hindered by the fact that, you know, it's not just the crowd, which I'll come to in a sec, but this ladder match can happen because obviously they've regenerated the talent, but they also rely on the likes of Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate. And those guys are obviously in the UK. They've had Matt Riddle go up to the main roster. They've got Timothy Thatcher in, obviously, as the latest talent, but they haven't been able to get that buzz as much. So they haven't been able to generate that sort of mid-card, if you want to call it that.
Wasn't Loomis in one of these as well?
Yeah, Dexter Loomis has been brilliant as well. But again, it all comes down to what Taddy said, which is the crowd is the most important part to NXT, I think, because it determines so much of what they do. The only reason Tommaso Ciampa turned face was because of the crowd. The only reason Velveteen Dream turned face originally was because of the crowd. The only reason Eric Bugenhagen went from a jobber with a fun entrance to someone who appeared in like a month's worth of NXT was because of the crowd. The only reason formerly Leo Kruger, Party Animal, Adam, whatever his name was, with the conga line, with the conga line and bunnies and stuff, got over was because of the crowd. Same with No Way Jose. So it dictates what people do. And it dictates characters in a way that WWE main roster don't let the crowd dictate their characters, because if they did, things would be probably better. So I think of all the companies in terms of AEW, NXT, and WWE, the crowd being absent has hit NXT the hardest, because it's just so much harder to do a match like this, the six-man, the ladder match, without sort of the crowd being there to give the energy. And those bumps are going to hurt like hell.
Yeah, I think we discussed it on WrestleMania when they had the triple threat ladder match. I was like, why are you doing this? There's no one there.
Exactly.
Who have you got to win?
I don't really know, actually. I think they're probably going to give Johnny the title back. But there is a good chance that NXT this week, which could well be out by the time this podcast is out, has, you know, Johnny lose and they build that into his character. I think Johnny will get the title back eventually either way, because this heel, Johnny Gargano, is fun and good, and I think he eventually needs a belt. But ultimately, yeah, I'm not sure. So I'd go for Johnny if he's in it. Otherwise, it's sort of a lottery. I mean, I'd love to see Cameron Grimes win. But, yeah, again, let's say Johnny Gargano for the sake of it, even though he might not be in the actual match.
Tadiwa, quick thoughts on the match and then pick your winner.
Yeah, I thought it was a bit uninspired the way Keith Lee just dropped the title or relinquished the title. I thought they could have made much more of a story about it. But now that we've gotten there, I think it would be WWE booking to have Velveteen Dream win it.
Oh, God.
yeah, I know.
Jesus.
It shouldn't happen, but I can see it happening.
That would not be a good side of things.
But let me go with my head here. I want someone new to win it. And I think Bronson Reed has done really well, and I would be interested to see what he could do holding the title. So I'm going to go with one out of left field and say Bronson Reed.
Can I just say also, I saw Bronson Reed, formerly Jonah Rock, live two or three times at he's Australian, so it was the Australian indie scene, and he is a huge man. He is colossally large. So that would be awesome if he won.
I was thinking similar, but I was thinking Damian Priest, because he is pretty much lost every time I've seen him. So I think he's due something. And it tends to happen in WWE, wherever it, even in NXT. You lose a few matches, and then you get a title summer. or you do what Keith Lee did, where he was barely booked, and now he's the biggest star in the company. But anyway, I will pick Damian Priest, because every time I've seen it, he's lost. He puts on good matches and then loses. So I'll go for him, and it can kind of help, not rebuild him, but build him. And if what you say, Alex, is if he's kind of a face now, it might be something to get him started in that direction. He can feud with, I don't know, Grimes, Gargano, whoever. And it can kind of help establish him. So, yeah, what have we got? We got Alex with Gargano, me with Priest, and Tadiwa with Reed. So, someone, it's going to end up being none of them. but we'll move on. Tadiwa, possibly the best wrestling match of the night, you'd presume. AOV Dakota Kai, because in the ladder match will obviously just be mad, whereas this might just be more wrestling based. Is that what you'd say?
Yeah, definitely. Because the other matches, there's something that would hinder them being. Yeah. So I think this would be probably the one that the purists are looking out for. I'm enjoying what Io Shirai's doing with the title. Her promos under the water are insane. I thought that's really inventive and looks really cool. Yeah.
Come again.
Almost all her promos are her underwater, just talking in Japanese and cussing out everyone. It's amazing. Absolutely right. Amazing. I highly recommend it if anyone hasn't seen it. And then Dakota Kai, I wonder if Raquel Gonzalez is going to be there to help her out, because I don't see how she's winning this one. It's too early to take it off of Io. And Dakota on her own, I don't think they've built her enough, even as a heel, to be a viable person to take the title at this stage for me. The only way I could see it happening is with like an F finish where Raquel helps her out. But other than that, I'm expecting a really good match and you know, to hold on to the title.
Yeah, I'd probably agree, but I'd pick Io as well. Alex, same for you?
Yeah, well, I don't think Io is going to lose the title anytime soon, to be honest. I don't see that many challenges there. I think Rhea's had her reign, unless they want to do a bit of sort of Kairi Shayna with them and have multiple reigns, but that's not very NXT Women's title. So I think Dakota is sort of here to be the foil for Io, and I'm sure they're going to put on a quite good wrestling match. But yeah, I still think Dakota has some development to do with her character, and whether we see Raquel Gonzalez, she hasn't shown up much lately, so... to me, the interesting one, I think, in the women's division right now is Tegan, because she's been excellent. That match she had with Io for the title was brilliant. It was one of NXT's best matches recently, actually. And yeah, I don't think Io Shirai is really going to lose the belt anytime soon.
Yeah, we've all three of us have got Io. Alex, I'll stick with you. Colby, Pat.
Right. So I like this. I know it's an unpopular opinion. I know McAfee and this is a Vince a classic Vince move, but NXT doesn't have a crowd. It's not actually NXT, so this is when you can try the shit, do the stuff that you don't usually do. The storyline with the interview going all the way back to sort of last year when they were on watch alongs together. It's developed really nicely. I think the interview was a really nice sort of worked shoot. And the punt kick that McAfee gave Cole over the announce desk was actually quite a cool moment. I know Pat McAfee's annoying, but he's the heel, which is even more interesting, I think, because the way he came in and sort of said, oh, you guys have got some bad security around here. Look at this. It's not much respect you give to a former NFL player. Hunter getting involved, and yeah, look, I quite like this. I'm really curious to see where they go with it. McAfee is annoying, but I think he's sort of supposed to be that way, and McAfee's worked at NXT for a while, because when they had the old Survivor Series Battle of the Brands off, McAfee was one of the NXT cheerleaders, so to speak. So Yeah, I think this is actually going to be quite fun, and I've actually been enjoying it over the last few weeks. But I realize I'm in the minority there, so don't worry, I won't try and campaign for you to come join my side.
I don't really know what to think of this. I mean, to do, I think you follow American sports probably more than I do. Other than him being involved with NXT and obviously having his podcast, is he that big a name to draw people to watch, or is it just there for story's sake?
I think he's probably bigger outside of wrestling and football, just right, okay, because of his podcasting and his commentary, than he was necessarily in the NFL. I mean, he was a punter, which is probably the least like valuable player on the pitch. Yeah.
He was a world class punter, though.
Yeah,
he's James Milner.
Yeah.
He's probably the best ever. Well, yeah, he's definitely in the conversation, but arguably is the best ever. So even though it's a lowly position, to still get to the top of your field is some feat. But in terms of publicity and social media, look, I know ESPN and WWE have kind of built this relationship, and it could have been solidified now if it weren't for COVID and other stuff. But watching him, you know, the way they played it in terms of publicizing the match was they went on to an American show called Get Up, which happens every single morning in America. And they basically just run through sports news. And Triple H went on there first, obviously challenging Pat McAfee to the match, and you know whether or not he was man enough. And Triple H obviously speaks well; we know that about him. And then Pat came on the next day and he spoke, and I thought he was fantastic. He put over Adam Cole in terms of all his achievements, but still was cocky enough to say, "I'm still going to go in there and kick his ass on like 2 weeks training." So I think he's got a good mind for the business, and they've done the publicity side of things really well. And if he's going to get into the ring with anyone in NXT, Adam Cole's probably one of the first names you want up there in terms of being able to protect him and get him through a match, a possible match. Mm. So whether it draws a crowd, only time will tell, but they've done all they can in terms of reaching out to mainstream media and trying to get attention for it in the right way, I think. And the build up to it has been good. The fact that people weren't sure whether it was a shoot or it was scripted, I think is testament to how well they did. And then the punt was awesome. I mean, he absolutely leathered him. And he came across like an absolute douche. And I thought it was pretty cool that after he did it, you know, even, well, just before he did it, it was Triple H, Shawn Michaels were part of the people that came out from the back. Usually we just see referees and guys that not everyone knows coming out, you know, and trying to stop fights. But to have Triple H and Shawn Michaels come out, I think made the moment bigger. And then that punt was perfect. And yeah, I'm excited to see what they do. I'm not expecting a wrestling clinic, but I'm sure they've got more than enough to get an interesting story out of this.
Yeah, I can see the value in stuff like this, but Alex, I mean, the main question here is, we've seen part-timers damage full-time reputations. I mean, Big Show with Mayweather's the biggest and worst effect on a performer, I'd probably say, but we saw Tyson Fury beat Braun Strowman, I don't know, it was via countout, if I remember correctly, and there's probably other examples. I mean, how much, and you're obviously in favour of this, how much damage could this do to Adam Cole? Because obviously he's gone from losing the title to Keith Lee to fighting a part-timer. If he loses to a part-timer, that could damage main roster runs. It just ruins the perception, if you get what I mean.
Yeah, I don't think there's necessarily a danger of that in terms of what they've already built with Adam Cole. I'm not sure this is a Tyson Fury match because it's not done, A, for the money or B, for the spectacle. It's more done for the story.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why I have faith that they'll sort of protect everyone there, and that certainly it'll be an interesting story to tell, to see how you get McAfee in that ring and what the Undisputed Era do and how you portray Adam Cole as the face. And I think there is a risk that Adam Cole comes out of this and his credibility from being the longest reigning NXT champion ever to facing Pat McAfee is not necessarily sort of what it once was, but then NXT can very easily build him back up by just saying, okay, now you're going to go face, you know, Dexter Lumis, or if he's staying face, Damian Priest, or someone like Bronson Reed, and just, yep, win that, you'll be back up in no time, because that's sort of what they do. The NXT paradigm shifts. So, ironic use, considering that's the name of the finisher of one John Moxley, but the NXT paradigm and dimension sort of shifts constantly, but its pieces always seem to remain all right. The worst thing you'd probably, in terms of people coming back to NXT, is who didn't really get the steam, is sort of Tyler Breeze eventually came back. That was more main roster ruining than anything, but it's hard to think of an NXT character who's been necessarily ruined. Personally, I think this is a good way to distract from the fact that Adam Cole shouldn't be near the title. Don't feed him to Cross if he wins it. Don't feed him to Lee again. Like Teddy said, it's interesting, and I'm curious to see how they do it, and I'm actually looking forward to it. But, yeah, of course, the danger's there, Guy. I'm not going to suggest that it's not, but I have faith that they will deal with this part-time thing better, because this is about a story, not about, oh, we can get some eyes in. Not necessarily about, oh, we can get some eyes in the same way that every Saudi Arabia pay-per-view is.
Mm. Who are you picking?
Adam Cole, I think, although I'm curious to see if there's any tomfoolery about.
Who are you picking today?
Adam Cole, definitely.
I'm going to pick Pat. I know it's NXT, but you don't bring... You don't bring in part-timers to lose, do you? Fucking hell.
But he's not necessarily a part-timer, that's the thing. He has been with the brand for ages now.
They're going to develop his character, and he's going to be a bell-end on every show, even though he's a bell-end on every show already. But now he's going to be bell-end. Bell-endier.
I was so sure you were all going to say Adam Cole that I had already pre-written in the little predictions thing.
No.
A clean sweep for Adam Cole.
No. Guy comes in and freaking out. Ruins it.
We'll see on Saturday. dear. Next one, and I am aware of time, so albeit I want to give this the respect it's due. Keith Lee v. Cross to do. Firstly, does this seem quite rushed considering Keith Lee has only just won the title and Cross, albeit they've made him a megastar with the way they've booked it, is this kind of like a Fiend situation we discussed that they've rushed him into a title picture?
Yeah, I personally didn't want him anywhere near the title for a while. I prefer my characters like that, like the Fiend, like Cross, to be driven by other things than titles. Maybe just, you know, crossing names off their list, or like if you have a like what Randy Orton did, where it's a legend killer gimmick that then leads to a title run because it's just so damn good, then I'm okay with that. But there needs to be that beginning bit. You can't take legend killer Randy Orton and before he's even done, you know, the punching of Edge and everyone else, you already put him in the title pay. It loses the value for me. So I was really irritated that he got thrown in there so early. But now that he has, and seeing Keith Lee relinquish the North American Championship, to me, it just felt like the reason they're rushing this is because Keith Lee is going to be, he's going to be putting Cross over. which, you know, being a transition champion, which would be a very weird thing to want to label Keith Lee with all he's done, and it's kind of maybe seen in a negative light if you're called a transitional champion. But I think for the purposes here, him winning the title off Adam Cole to be able to put over Cross works really well, opposed to, let's say, Adam Cole getting destroyed by Cross. I don't think the visual of that would have as much impact as Keith Lee losing.
It's a strange one, because, I mean, I saw Cross destroy Ciampa, which is obviously, I think we kind of half expected, if I remember correctly. I think we all picked Cross, but maybe not, what was it, like 10 seconds? But,
well, that was the thing. It was like a squash match, but it went for like 12 minutes. It was it was quite a good squash match.
Playing with food squash match.
Yeah.
It's a strange, I mean, Alex, have your say on it?
I think I agree with Tadiwa in principle. And personally, I'd say Cross could have benefited from maybe not squash matches, but, you know, I mean, again, do you want Dexter Lumis to lose? But, you know, a match with Dexter Lumis that's weird versus like these sort of like monster versus weird. And obviously Cross ultimately wins, but not before Lumis sort of does some weird things and maybe a match against, you know, Bronson Reed or something, although they did already have that. I think, in terms of what I think they're doing, I think they are going to establish that dominance and that monster character, but via the belt. So they're going to give him the title, and he's going to hold it for eons, and they're going to have him squash people with the belt, as opposed to building up to the belt. And it's happened sort of, I mean, it hasn't really happened before, but it is sort of this trope with wrestling where sometimes, you know, you get fast-tracked to the belt, and then once you have the belt, it's a case of who the hell can stop him, which I get, and I don't mind that. I think it could work, especially, and today we had the nail on the head with this, the visual of him beating Keith Lee would be immaculate. Now, the question is whether they do that this takeover or whether Triple H does the thing that he despises, and that's has a dusty finish / screw finish to cap off the show, which he always... I mean, you look back at takeovers, takeover matches themselves very rarely have dusty, screwy finishes. Most of them have, like, genuine finishes, even if there's distractions in them. Like, the very few that you think of, Roddy turning heel, maybe, even though that still had the ultimate, the Undisputed Era retaining. This Ciampa and Gargano stuff, maybe. But he just, Hunter hates having to do screwy finishes. And this is going to tear him apart. Say, well, do I keep the belt on Keith to make sure he gets at least one sort of stretch with it, pay-per-view stretch? Or do I just set the Karrion Kross sort of machine on its march? Because I get the sense this machine will be very dominant and be very impressive. And look, they've nailed Cross, like they have absolutely, no pun intended, they've nailed Cross's presentation. He's nailed it in the ring. Scarlett is nailing the whole silent, sexy ballet type. The whole thing works. It's just whether they pull the trigger this pay per view or they wait until the next takeover.
Who's Goldberg in this situation? Who's like beating him?
I actually don't know. I genuinely don't know. No one on that roster right now. Maybe Ciampa if he comes back and gets momentum again. But that, again, I think when we see Cross drop the belt, it'll be with fans. So by that point, it could be Eric Bugenhagen for all we know. Like genuinely, with the NXT crowd, it's you just don't know. As of right now, I didn't see anyone who could dethrone Keith Lee other than Cross, so they've just sort of fast forwarded it.
So you're picking Cross, I presume?
Yeah, I think so. Cross or dusty finish?
I'll go Cross clean. What did you say to Dima?
I was gonna say Cross, but can I change my Pat McAfee Adam Cole pick?
No, go on then.
Because
coffee and me.
I'm going to copy you guy, and I'm going to say Pat McAfee wins. And because he's the heel in that one, I think it's going to cause Adam Cole to turn babyface, and he's going to take the belt off Cross.
Ooh. I thought you were going to say Pat's going to fight Cross.
That would be awesome.
Pat kicking Cross's head into oblivion.
He just punts Cross and nothing happens.
You know, that's an interesting idea.
Oh, God, no.
Not McAfee, no. Cole turning babyface, because the one thing I'm waiting for is Kyle O'Reilly to break off, because I think he, of all the Undisputed Era, is actually the single star in there. If anyone's watched sort of Pro Wrestling Guerrilla circa 2012 to 16, or Ring of Honor around that same time, they'll know that Kyle O'Reilly is a sensational babyface. But I think you could very, very, very easily do an inverse, a flipsy Dixit, and have Adam Cole be the babyface. This is with a crowd, because the crowd already loves him, and have Kyle O'Reilly be that charismatic slash savage heel. And I think turning Cole babyface to take the belt off Cross is quite a good idea, because he wouldn't have to change a thing. You know, maybe he isn't as much of a dick, but the crowd already love him. So you've already got that nailed on.
Yeah, because they've really been pushing and emphasizing the fact that Pat McAfee is the heel in this storyline, getting him on commentary, making sure he's acting like a dick. Like they're pushing it too much that he's the heel, that NXT rarely does anything without
Baron
foresight.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's definitely that sort of intention.
Yeah, so that's my long-term booking. Pat McAfee to win, Adam Cole to eventually take the title off Karrion Kross, who wins it this weekend. Did we all go Karrion Kross?
Yes. There you go.
Slash screw finish.
So we've got 100% EO and 99.9% carry. the last point on NXT is, where does that leave Keith Lee? I think before we started recording, we were talking about him going to the main roster. So, yeah, it seems like an inevitability. Still couldn't get it right, but I'm going to roll with it.
I think it's been an inevitability since the Rumble.
Yes.
When Vince took a look at him and said, right, I want that. And Hunter said, give me a spell. Please. I need to put the belt on him first.
Please don't take him.
Yes, exactly.
Is that what you think? Because we've seen all these past champions stay down there, even when they've had the belt off them. Gargano, Ciampa, Cole, etc. They're not getting instant call-ups. But Lee, he's obviously had the impact at the Rumble. Vince obviously liked big people. He seems like a Vince star ready in the making. But the only question mark is lack of crowd. Is it the right moment? But is he the one out of all the NXT stars you see main roster first?
Yeah, he's probably the one Vince has got his eye on the most. I actually think he's going to kind of have an Ember Moon way to the top, where he's going to lose. Mm. Well, Ember Moon never won the title, I don't think, if my memory serves. But
yeah,
I think
Shayna
he's going to lose.
Shayna beat her for it, didn't she?
Yeah. I think Keith Lee's going to lose twice. I think Keith Lee's going to lose twice to Karrion Kross. I think he'll lose this time, and then he tries to do a babyface comeback and he loses again. And then he'll go to the main roster. And I think that's going to really put Karrion Kross over. So he might not go over straight away, but he's definitely on route.
They're trying to trickle crowds back in, aren't they?
So maybe this could buy time, him losing twice before.
So that would be like, I don't know, proper match then squash match for the Impact, though. Either way, I do agree. I think it's a good point having two matches, because I don't know. Say if they get crowds back in, what's the next big pay per view? Survivor Series is the next big pay per view.
Payback.
No.
In a week, you can do Payback with a crowd. No, Survivor Series November.
Maybe Rumble, because Survivor Series is not the best place.
Do you debut him at the Rumble, though? He was at the Rumble last year.
Yeah, but he could win the Rumble this year.
That would be interesting.
Next year. Yeah. Next year.
Yeah, as long as he's there before next year's WrestleMania, you'd think that'd be his big showpiece party.
We're doing fantasy booking on a podcast that we didn't want to go 4 hours. I'm going to stop that train right now. But we all see... Christ, I've got a Keith Lee. Forgetting names. Get distracted by fantasy booking. Keith Lee sooner rather than later compared to the other ones. But yeah, NXT will be good, even though I said the card looks a bit underwhelming. It will have a 5-star match in there somewhere, because it always does. SummerSlam. Alex, I'll start with you, and I'm going to go in reverse order of Wikipedia. And feel free to mention any matches. I know CBS Sports sometimes have matches that might get confirmed, but the first one I've got is Mandy Rose v Sonya Deville in a hair versus hair match. But is this going to go forward considering the situation?
We don't know. I doubt it. Given the situation, which, look, we won't mention it. Everyone listening to this will probably already realize it. It is extremely creepy and fucked up and sad, especially considering both of them were in the house when the guy was there. Mm. So I don't expect this to go ahead. They could very easily do this at the end of a SmackDown as a main event. If it does go ahead, I still assume Mandy Rose will win. And I know today will be shattered by seeing Sonya without hair, but I think she could actually rock. Not a bald look, but a short hair look would make her look badass. Like, she could rock a short hair look and kick people's ass. I'd like to see a bit of a gear change as well. Like, be a sort of, not quite Shayna Baszler level, but just sort of be this brutal cage fighting, like, I'm going to murder you, and have her just keep falling down that line of insanity, because Sonya's promos have been unreal. And also Mandy's promo on SmackDown last week, I think, when she mentioned the, you know, the hard, like what she had to do in college and winning the beauty contest or whatever it was, you know, bikini contest, one of those. And yeah, she spoke really well. And I think, yeah, this storyline is maybe slightly dragged on too long, but the two themselves are actually still pulling out good performances. So I can see this being quite good. So I'd say if it goes ahead, which I don't think it will, Mandy will probably win.
Yeah, I'd agree with that if it goes ahead. Same for you, Tadema.
Yeah, if it does go ahead, I think Mandy wins it. The moment Sonya cut Mandy's hair, I kind of had a sigh and had a moment of silence, because I knew this match was coming. I think I even posted in the group that I guess this means it's a hair versus hair match, or I posted it somewhere. Yeah, it's just unfortunate that they couldn't let this feud go. Just leave it where it was, Sonya on top, and let her carry on rising. They had to bring it back to this, and it's so sad. But to Alex's point, I do agree that Sonya's going to look pretty badass. And hey, cutting your hair worked for Bayley. I'm hoping it has the same meteoric rise for Sonya as well. I really think that she, if they want to, she could be an absolute star, and she could carry that SmackDown division for a good while, especially with them having, you know, not all the big hitters in terms of two of the other four horsewomen there at the moment. But yeah, hair versus hair, there's only one way this is going to end, and that's Sonya getting a buzz cut.
Hmm. Maybe Mandy loses and it starts Otis's heel turn. We'll never know.
Oh, my fantasy booking, to add fantasy booking, was that Otis gives up his briefcase to save Mandy Rose having to cut her hair.
Oh, God, no.
And then Sonya becomes Mr. Money in the Bank.
No.
I would absolutely love that.
No, stop trying to take the briefcase off Otis.
He's not winning the title.
He's cashing in at WrestleMania in front of 100,000 people.
Yes. on Brock Lesnar applause after to with a live sex celebration with Mandy Rose and all the ribs and steaks coming out, and it will be amazing.
And then Tucky's going to betray him the night after WrestleMania.
Yes, exactly. And we're going to have a main event feud for the Universal title of Tucker versus Otis leading into Backlash.
Yes. Beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right.
They could have an oh yeah or
oh my god, that'd actually make me watch it.
4 million viewers.
Yes. Yes, please. Right. Tadiwa. I don't know why this is listed seventh on the card, but fair enough. Braun Strowman versus the Fiend Bray Wyatt.
I think Mo Chatra edited the Wikipedia page.
What?
That's why it's left at seven.
I thought he probably has. But I mean, to do it, this has been a feud that we didn't criticize, but we said there should have been much more to it at, I can't remember what the last pay per view was. Extreme. Oh, it was the horror thing, wasn't it?
The horror show. Jesus. Extreme rules.
but we kind of criticized it for not being enough, and they've seemed to have took that criticism and gone with it. Now that we've got heel Braun Strowman I've only watched the highlights of this. It seems he's gone heel, and the Fiend is now is he just neutral? Does he just do what he wants? I don't get this. But bringing Alexa in has been a good decision, hasn't it?
Oh, it's been an awesome decision, and it's using Alexa for, you know, highlighting her best aspects of her character, which is her character work. Even for in-ring matches, I've always found her character development work always outshines her actual in-ring wrestling talent for me. You know, that's just how I've always seen it. But her facial expressions, her acting abilities, I think they're all featuring really well in this programming. And this has always been leading to the Fiend coming out. I think we've all seen that coming and have waited for it. It was just whether or not they were going to be able to do it in a compelling way. Now that we've gotten here, I'm ready for Braun to get squashed and for us to move on to better things, please. I haven't been a fan of this Braun character, although the new bold Braun kind of starts going back to elements of what we saw of him against Roman, which was my feud of the year when it did happen. So here's hoping that even in defeat that we get that Braun back. And then, yeah, that's all I can say on this. Just have the Fiend win. Don't do any BS finishes or anything like that. Please let the Fiend be able to move on from Braun after this match.
Nah, they're fighting again at Payback, and there's nothing you can do. Alex, obviously, it's our guy.
It's the boy.
It is. And neither of us particularly like Strowman. But
yes,
character develop Strowman? I mean, it's only been short.
It's been good. You can say it, guy. It's been good.
It has. And it's the first time we've seen character development since the Roman feud.
Yeah, absolutely. This was a really good way to turn Braun heel, because you play into, I mean, you've got sort of the three things WWE don't do: refer to their own distant past continuity with the Team Little Big and the Alexa Bliss relationship in, you know, quotation marks with Braun. Refer to character work that they've already laid out in the sort of year previous with Finn Balor changing and Seth changing, and
Kane became a mess.
Kane, yeah, exactly. I was literally going to say Kane sort of did change, and Mick Foley disappeared, and Jerry Lawler disappeared, thank God. But anyway, so like all these people who face the Fiend change, and they actually acknowledge that in continuity on commentary, and then they actually went and actually pulled the trigger with a Braun Strowman heel turn that was actually well done. And it's just surprising that they were actually doing these things that, you know, they don't usually do, and they've combined them all into one. And it's no real surprise that it's the Fiend that's doing it, because the Fiend is the one device through which they've been able to tell really, really good stories the past year. Apart from the one that didn't happen, which is no longer in canon. It was in an alternate universe in the Saudi Arabian WWE universe, which is just over there, which was obviously Goldberg. As Tanewa said in the group chat today, yeah, I guess we're just excluding Goldberg, because what changed with him? He still hits his head into fucking doorways and he's a big oaf. It's like, yes, he is, but that's fine, because the Fiend never faced Goldberg. He went to Saudi Arabia, someone stole the title off him and he never got it back, and here is his revenge moment.
Well, it kind of turned him into a murderer, because he did try to kill Undertaker afterwards. Or was that before?
That is true. No, it must have been beforehand. Either way. No, this has been really good. The Alexa Bliss thing has been, yeah, I agree with Teddy, your character works excellent. And that bit where Braun lifted her up, and then you were just like, oh God, is he going to drop her? And he actually dropped her. And the way they cut that, and the Fiend coming out being neutral, this is everything that should be happening. Braun should be a monster heel. Fiend should be neutral. At this point, he probably also should have the belt. I know, purely because of what happened, he probably should have that belt. Because, I mean...
the main question is, does this open the Fiend into fighting heels?
Yes, absolutely. And that's what it should definitely do. It doesn't necessarily restrict him from fighting faces, but I think it opens him up as a neutral to fight heels. As this, what would you call it? Not even neutral, but sort of just ethereal, motivationless character who just, you know, wants violence and wants to be
omnipotent force.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. This sort of omnipotent, I'm above all of you, because you have Bray Wyatt to do those promos and sort of come into the ring. And I like the fact that they've had the Fiend be on SmackDown. They haven't just said, oh, he's coming on the pay-per-view. Because at this point, I think all you need him for is one SmackDown, or two SmackDowns, technically. But you need to make it count. And with Alexa, they really did make it count. So, yeah, no, I'm definitely going with the Fiend. And Braun Strowman's reign, turn him heel. At least we get something good from Braun out of it. And move on.
Is that a clean sweep? All the Fiend?
I believe so.
Well, it's not, because I'm going to go Strowman in a bullshit finish.
Oh, God, no.
We go again.
They've learned.
It's happening. I've told you.
From
it's
Hell in a Cell.
We haven't.
They've learned they from haven't. Hell in a Cell.
No, I've learned from Hell in a Cell. It's going to be bullshit. It's going to happen again at Payback. It's going to. It is. I reckon it's going to be like another no contest thing. I just think it is.
Gross.
Yep. Yeah. I'd be very happy if the Fiend wins, but
you're just setting yourself up so you don't get disappointed again.
It's the way to be. It's Bray Wyatt. Every time he's meant to win, he doesn't.
Oh, dear.
Right. I'm picking. Let's say no contest. I don't think either of them will win. Right. Today we're Bailey v Asuka. We kind of have to do two matches together here, don't we? Because we have to do Sasha Banks v Asuka as well. Firstly, Asuka pulling double duty. Raw. I go on Today's opinion on the day after, and he's not had any good things to say. So I've barely watched Raw. Can you explain the story to me here, Today?
Okay. So basically, Bailey and Sasha have been the cornerstones of WWE main roster for the best part of a month, 2 months. They're on pretty much every show except NXT, although they have been on a few NXTs. The running gimmick is that they're the golden role models. They, you know, win all their matches. They get put into matches pretty much every week, either singles matches for their titles or tag team matches for the tag team belts. So with regards to Bayley, she, as SmackDown champion, has been quite dominant. She's barely lost any matches that side. The only match she lost really was when she went one-on-one with Asuka on Raw. And the reason she was on Raw going one-on-one with Asuka was because Sasha Banks put her into the match saying she'll face Asuka if Asuka's able to beat Bayley. And, you know, Asuka was able to win the match and perfectly, you know, the next time around, Bayley and Sasha are walking backstage and Bayley says, you know, oh, now we both have to face Asuka. At least this time when I face her, I'll be fighting for something, you know, with value.
Mm.
And Sasha sort of gave her this look where, you know, you can see from the look alone that she's saying, wait, so it wasn't valuable and wasn't worth it fighting Asuka last time when you were trying to stop her having to fight me. So they planted the seed really, really well there. Mm. They've given little breadcrumbs throughout the months with the breakup of Sasha and Bayley, which is what this is all leading to. The only issue for me really is Asuka being in both matches and then both matches being singles matches. If she was going to be in both matches, I would have rather had a triple threat match where either, you know, the winner takes all the belts, and I think that could create feud between Bayley and Sasha, or to say it's a 2 out of 3 or two pinfall match. The first pinfall's for the SmackDown Championship,
yeah.
Second pinfall's for the Raw Championship. However you want to package that deal. But for me, it's a bit irritating to have Asuka be challenging for both, because I think there are a lot more women that could be used in that role. And especially, you know, and going on to my prediction, especially with the fact that I think Bayley retains no matter what happens. So I'd rather have someone else there and try and elevate them and, you know, in a spirited losing effort to Bayley than to have Asuka there, because especially when they had a battle royal this past SmackDown where they were determining the number one contender. And the moment Asuka's music hit, it just gives you the sinking feeling that, oh, okay, there's no way they're putting Asuka in this match and she's losing it. Mm. There were so many other women that I think they could have given a chance to. And yeah. So in terms of predictions, I think Bayley's able to beat Asuka through the help of Sasha. And then in the next match, Sasha loses to Asuka and it's going to be Bayley's fault. And what it accomplishes is, one, it continues the whole fact that Sasha's never retained a title. And then two, it continues to create the rift between the two of them. And I think that rift, which is going to end up with Bayley staying heel and Sasha being babyface, works better if Bayley's the reason Sasha lost her championship. And that can then drive the wedge and continue to grow the feud. And then Asuka can carry on Raw, being Raw champion, and she'll go on to face maybe possibly Shayna Baszler next. So first match, Bayley wins. Second match, Asuka wins.
I like it. I like the theories. Alex, what have you got on these two matches?
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I think that was comprehensive enough that I don't really need to know anything, to be honest. But Taddy's literally made every salient point you probably could there. I'll devil's advocate and say the alternatives, and this is why I think Taddy's absolutely spot on. One alternative, you have Asuka win both matches, you have her be double champ. She drops the Raw one to Shayna and then goes to SmackDown. Probably not going to happen because the SmackDown Women's Division is, you'd suggest, maybe stronger with Naomi and Nasty.
And Bayley and Sasha are technically on SmackDown.
Technically, but I have a feeling they're gonna keep pulling double duty just because they've been so brilliant and they've still got the WWE and NXT Women's Tag Team Championships. The other thing that could happen is that Asuka loses both matches, which won't happen because Becky picked her out. And I think it's as simple as that. If they did have Asuka lose both, then that would effectively kill her and undo everything that Becky did by giving her the title via the Money in the Bank belt. So Money in the Bank briefcase. So I don't think that's going to happen. So yeah, Bayley sort of costing Sasha. Asuka going to Raw to face Shayna Baszler. And then Bayley and Sasha's rift growing and Sasha getting jealous again now that she doesn't have a title anymore or she doesn't have a singles title anymore, all works perfectly into the storyline. I hope that they don't pull the trigger until there's a crowd, because it's going to suck if this happens without a crowd. I know we can't control COVID. I know this storyline's bubbling. But Bayley and Sasha have been so good that the turn when it happens, just hope that there's a crowd there. I think that is definitely the logical thing. So yeah, that's my prediction as well. Bayley to retain the title, Asuka to beat Sasha.
You're too safe, boys. You're too safe.
Oh, here we go again.
Let's go. Right.
Here we go again.
Asuka's beating Bayley, and then Sasha's beating Asuka. And then, Bailey's going to snap and Sasha, and they're going to pull the trigger. And then there's payback. I think you're right, but I'm just going to be different because I keep losing predictions, so I'm going to be different. Let's go.
Sorry, we haven't addressed this yet. My gut and my brain told me to go with Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura at Extreme Rules. And then what happened? You two told me, why would they win the titles for? The New Day, they're the solid bet. They're definitely going to win the title. So I said, you know what, lads? You're right. And guess who won the fucking WWE Tag Team titles? You pricks.
Well, did they really win? Because they're not even on the card.
Yeah, that's true.
There you go. So we were right. Because Big E will probably be on the pre-show somewhere.
Big E's, can we just say, I mean, yeah, he's not on this card. Big E's singles run has been fantastic so far. Everything I thought it'd be. His promos are unreal.
I mean, whilst we're on it, why isn't AJ on this card?
We might see Riddle versus AJ for the title. I doubt it. I think we might actually see Riddle versus Corbin instead, because that's been the thing. But basically that Intercontinental title scene, I think, probably has been limited to SmackDown main event or maybe Payback. Who knows?
And I think also because, yeah, this match was meant to be – so Jeff Hardy versus AJ is this is the go-home main event.
Right.
Okay. But that match was meant to be on the pay-per-view, on SummerSlam's card.
Right.
And for some reason they moved it. I'm assuming it's ratings related that they moved it. So whether or not we get a clean finish on that one and then it gets booked for Sunday as well, that's probably – a likely outcome of it.
It's definitely happening at Payback. Right, so let's do... You picked Asha beat Sasha. Like, I'll just copy you. Fuck it. I'll just copy you. We'll do clean sweep. We'll all agree on that one. But when Bailey loses, I'm being a smug prick.
You're
going to
be filthy.
I am. I'm going to be an absolute bitch. speaking of filthy... Alex, Seth Rollins v. Dominic Mysterio. I don't know why this is filthy. I was just doing a segue. Seth Rollins v. Dominic Mysterio in a street fight, which Wiki has Ray and Murphy on the outside. We mentioned part-time as doing damage on NXT. Is similar situation?
No, I think it's the opposite.
Right.
This has been fantastic for me, this storyline. I'm not sure if you saw, Guy, but the welts that Seth and Buddy left on Dominic's back were brutal. There's the filthy segue.
There we go.
That one was brutal. And the ease with which I think Dominic has made himself at home in this storyline. Okay, his promo is not great. It's decent enough to manage, but it's not like he's making any impassioned sort of pleas to, you know, save his dad or anything. It's very much straight down the line. But he delivers a 619 like nobody's business. He clearly picked that up from his dad. And getting Joe and Tom Phillips involved with Seth and having Buddy sort of put Aleister Black's eye to the steel chair and look at Seth like, did you seriously just make me do that? That's been great. Having Seth be this crazed sort of messianic cult figure has been really good. And now I'm curious to see what they do because, I mean, you can't really have Dominic win clean, but that's what the street fight steps for. So now we might well see Dominic get a bit of revenge on Seth, and I think Seth could probably cop it. But at the same time, you could very easily see Seth just brutalize Dominic after an early flurry. And really just hammer home that whole brutal messianic cult leader figure. I think Seth's been excellent. I think he's suffering from the fact that Austin Theory's not there, so it's not really as much of a cult as it is a partnership. The whole idea of him probably needing another addition to the messianic club.
Well, we finally get Big Dominic.
maybe the other Dominic rocks up finally. Actually, it's not just Austin, is it? It's AOP as well. Yeah, that's a shame. That stable's been hit pretty hard, hasn't it? But anyway, that's by the by. I think this should be very good.
I don't know. We'll talk about one predictions. Today, with your thoughts, I mean, I agree the feud. Albeit it's gone a bit too long. This, when I was watching, this was probably the best part of Raw, part with Drew McIntyre and Randy, which were separate back then. That's how long I've not been watching Raw for. it's maybe gone on a bit too long, but it's built to this quite well.
Yeah, they eventually got there. I agree that it's a bit long in the tooth, especially the Seth gimmick. And he hasn't really told us what the greater good is that he's fighting for, which has been quite irritating for me. But in terms of an introduction for Dominic, similar to the Pat McAfee thing, where you really want someone that's going to be able to protect the person coming in. And I think Seth Rollins would do a fantastic job there. The street fight stipulation is perfect for being able to hide any shortcomings in the ring as well. So that was really smart of them to have that in there. But yeah, I see Dominic winning. I just wish maybe Seth won more. Maybe this character would have more steam with me if he did win more. But once again, they've booked him into a match that I don't see how he wins it. And he's becoming like what Bray Wyatt was when he was Preacher Bray, where he comes out, preaches, loses. If they play into that fact that he's, you know, a leader that's always losing, then I'm happy for that. But they never did with Bray, and I don't think they are going to here, which is a shame. So my pick is Mysterio. There's probably going to be a lot of shenanigans involving Ray and Murphy. But yeah, that's it for me. I think they've done well in making Dominic a babyface, and I really want to see him kick Rollins' ass. And I think you can only ask for that, really, when you're creating a babyface. He's the son of probably the biggest underdog babyface the company's ever had. Maybe Daniel Bryan is in that conversation, but he's playing it off really well, I think. Needs to work on his promos, but other than that, he's done really well.
Alex, what say you? Prediction?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with... actually, no, you know what? I'm going to go with Seth.
You bastard. I was going to do that.
I've got a sneaky suspicion that Seth's going to brutalize him, and this will be the chance. But, I mean, we could see Samoa Joe get involved too. That's the thing. This has got a lot of working parts to it.
Yes.
So,
we finally see him choke Dominic.
Yeah.
It's been 3 years.
Not that Joe. I'm more thinking along the lines of him pulling his tie off and just going, right, that's it, and getting involved with Seth, which I think would be very, very cool. But I'm going to go with Seth.
I kind of want Joe back in it, but he'll end up injuring Seth. It just seems to be how it works. Or one of them will get injured. They don't work well together in the ring. I was going to go Seth as well, and then you stole my thunder. Let's up the ante. Dominic's joining Seth at the end. Not big Dominic. God. The Dominic.
Turning on his father.
And then Joe's going to choke him out. Eventually. I'm getting that goddamn moment.
Yes, it's exactly. You just booked your whatever you wanted to say. Yeah.
It's happening. So that's two for Seth, one for Dominic. Apollo Crews v MVP. What are they called again? The Hurt Business?
The Hurt Business.
That's shit.
I'll be honest. This was very appealing to me 3 weeks ago, and ever since, it's just been a bit shit. I mean, I think Taddy put it in the run sheet, but the whole three-on-one thing just... this week on Raw, it was an elimination match. Ali and Ricochet got eliminated like nobody's business, and then Crews comes in and beats the other three, and it's just took all the wind out of the sails. Crews has still been pretty good, mind you, but not that excited.
I was scrolling through Facebook, and my WWE thing came up, and it had like the results of Raw, and it had like Cedric Alexander won the 24/7 belt, then lost it later on. I was like, what's going on? So just even reading it sounded confusing.
Shelton Benjamin is 24/7 champion again.
Should be Tozawa. Anyway, Cruz is champion. Is he holding both belts now?
No, just the one. Just the new one.
Oh.
He said he'd give the old one to his kid.
Oh, fair enough.
Which is nice.
That's cool. I don't really know the story into this. Let's just do this quickly because I need to get out of here. and we have a lot... I don't know why, but it's got Street Profits as number one match, so I'm guessing we're going to do that next.
That was Tadewa, just so we could see Bianca.
That's very true. I'll go Cruz this one without knowing the story.
I think I'm going to go Cruz as well. Yeah, I don't think they're going to take the belt off of Polly yet. Yeah,
I think it'll end up being like Lashley v him at Payback or some shit. Then we'll discuss that. I don't even know how we're going to preview Payback. We might have to just do a review of it. Tadewa, what say you for this one?
Yep, clean sweep. That's it.
Well, there we go.
Unless unless Retribution get involved in the no contest. That's
the spanner.
Yeah.
Maybe that should be one of the predictions. When do you think Retribution
can be? When does Retribution get involved?
All of the matches.
If Retribution gets involved and helps Cruz win it, then I will forgive everything they've done with Retribution, because that would be pretty awesome.
That would be cool. That'd be badass.
Just ended up being a Ricochet and all the midgets.
And Alberto Carrillo.
Yes.
Squash me now, bitch.
would be character.
That would
give the stable a reason.
I mean, I did call them dweebs earlier, so it's fitting.
It does fit.
That is a good point. We haven't really discussed Telly and Retribution. It's rumored to be the whole point of the Payback pay-per-view, which is a week later. We've not been impressed by them so far. What can they do to save this? Because we all love an invasion angle, even though the payoff seems to always be ruined. Could this be roles reversal, where the introduction is shit, but the payoff's good?
Maybe. Maybe. I genuinely don't know. That's one of those things where you sort of go, maybe. That's the thing. That's just... So much of this pay-per-view actually looks good because you've got recency bias with WWE pay-per-views in a good way, where the build is not that stellar, and then they pull it out. And I think with SummerSlam, there is enough here to make me suggest that, yeah, they'll do something similar. But I don't know. Tati, what do you think?
I think they've just done such a poor job because they don't know who's meant to be the characters that they reveal. And that's a recipe for disaster. And it just seems really directionless.
Short-term really booking silly. A stable seems odd, doesn't it?
It does. But I personally think, and, these are just my own personal thoughts, that this is literally how Vince McMahon sees the protests that have been going on in America.
Mm.
And he's just playing it out on TV, sort of like a spoof. And they just look like, children that are running around doing silly things for no apparent reason, without any direction. And that's probably how he sees the protests. Silly little kids running around complaining about things with no real reason.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it just seems so off to me. And, when it first came, there was the anticipation and the hope that they could really do something with it. I hope they pull something out of it. But as it stands, I really don't have any time for it because they're seeing it as a joke. So I don't see why I should take it seriously, which is sad.
Yeah, they're going to have Roman Reigns come back in an American flag apparel and spear them all.
Oh, yeah. Roman's beating them all.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Within three seconds, one spear taking out 25 people.
But at this point, isn't that something you sort of want to see?
No.
Roman coming back and spearing everyone again?
Not in a big American flag.
No, not in a big American flag. Maybe without the suit. Without the body vest, bullet vest. Come back without the bullet vest, Roman. You've got the most ridiculous freaking physique. And you hide it beneath a bulletproof vest. What the hell is that? Anyway, no, just him coming back and spearing the shit out of everybody without the American flag. It doesn't even have to be Retribution. It's been the entire 205 Live roster. Just do that for me. That'd be amazing.
Interesting. Let's move on. Street Profits v, what do we call him? Vega Zelina Del Pijo or some shit?
Hijos Del Vega.
Yeah, that's the one. I missed the Bish glasses. That was peak. That was peak names. I don't really know the story on this. But I'm gonna.
Oh, Montez got poisoned. Didn't you say that?
I saw that on the Facebook thing I was on about earlier. I missed the sports skits. I won't lie.
Yeah. Raw results. Montez Ford got poisoned.
Yeah.
All right then.
Okie dokie.
Yeah. Street Profits will probably win. Who do you think did it? Because I don't think it's Vega. usually if it was actually Vega, they'd have more, or sort of Bianca would be challenging her less, because Bianca's just been like, yeah, I know it's her. If it turns out to be her, it's just be like, oh, okay.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
It, on Raw, they showed it was Vega.
Oh. Yeah. Right, never mind.
They
I haven't watched Raw.
They had that anticlimactic, is it going to be a red herring? Nope, it's exactly who you thought it was.
Oh, for God's sake.
And it was,
this is stupid.
It should have been the way they did it.
Yeah, but the way they did it was really silly, because Montez Ford, basically they've got this one lady from the Bachelorette or something that all three of the only three tag teams that are on Raw are kind of fighting for, in that Ivar,
she thinks
Ivar is cute, of course.
Yeah.
Gaz is trying to pull his charm with her, yes. And then...
Dawkins.
What's his name? Dawkins is also chatting her up. But basically, Dawkins was saying, I've got video footage of who did it. So I know who did it. And he was, you know, saying, and then there was shock on Zelina's face of, oh crap, have they got me? And she was trying to, he had it on his phone, apparently, and also in the studio. But anyway, so he was, so Zelina was telling her boys to get the phone away from Dawkins, and then eventually he was like to production. I don't know how he screamed to them from where he was, but he said, yeah, yo, play that tape. They were in the back, and then they played it and they showed Zelina pouring something in the drink. But the irritating thing for me was that whole time Dawkins was laughing, like, oh man, I've got something funny to show you. Oh, you're gonna enjoy this. This is so funny. And then that Joe on commentary saying, oh yeah, like, because Joe was basically playing like he's got all the scoops that evening. And he was like, oh yeah, Zelina's definitely gonna enjoy this. This is gonna be interesting. This is funny. And I'm sitting there thinking, and I'm like, if my tag partner got poisoned, how is this funny? And how am I teasing, showing a video and saying, oh, this is going to be funny? And then the video gets shown, and then Montez Ford appears after the video, and then they start brawling. And I'm like, wait, so he was there the whole time? Surely he wants to just jump these guys, not wait until the video is played. And
Montez loves a good dramatic entrance.
And then there's a one-on-one match between Montez Ford and Charlotte's man. Andrade. I feel so bad. Andrade Cien Almas. And then so they have a singles match, right? And throughout the singles match, Zelina's on the outside watching the match. Bianca Belair is nowhere to be seen. And I'm thinking, first of all, surely Dawkins would have shown her the video. So at some point, she should have attacked her. Then the match starts and she's still not there. She comes in towards the end of the match, does one power slam to Zelina, and then that's it. And then the match finishes with a roll-up pin. And that's it. And I'm like, this is a guy that's just been poisoned. Surely you got to... You know, show a bit more fight than this.
What did they poison him with? Paracetamol?
I have no clue what was going on. So I think the booking has just been really, really poor for this.
Yeah, really not poor. Not good.
Thing is, with a proper build, this should be match of the night.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but it didn't get a proper build. I mean, it'll probably still be a bang match, but just that the poison thing just looming in the background.
A WWE whodunit is never a good thing. It never is.
Yeah, it's not Agatha Christie, is it?
From Rikishi did it for The Rock.
To fake Eric Rowan.
Oh my goodness. To Kane killing The Undertaker. And, Jesus, that's probably the best one.
Yeah.
That's not good.
And ironically as well.
Yeah. Who are we going for? I'll go for the Vega boys.
Street Profits.
Okie dokie. Right, main event time. Drew v. Randy.
Yes, the good one. Yes. The good bit.
Yes. Alex, I'll start with you. I mean, we kind of thought this would be the feud because Drew was on fire, Randy was on fire, so you've got to meet at the biggest event of the summer. And then at Payback as well, obviously. This is a tough one. Because you don't want Randy to lose, but you don't want Drew to lose either. So what?
Yeah.
What we're in exactly a pickle. Right. We're in a pickle.
Yeah, which is why perhaps Retribution and Payback. That's what this is for, perhaps. But I mean, let's say that it needs resolution one way or the other. You've got Randy in the best period of his career since 2007-08.
Bald angry Randy.
Yeah, bald angry legacy Randy. It's versus Drew, who's in the best patch, I think, of anyone on either roster, maybe with the exception of Bayley and Sasha. He has been brilliant. He has been doing his own promos. He sounds so natural. And we've talked about this all the time, but I think it's the fact that he's been able to continue this, but without a crowd, is sort of brilliantly tragic, because if there was a crowd there, they would be eating him up. And I think if you take the belt off Drew now, he loses a bit. But if you put the belt on Randy now, he gains a lot. Randy with the belt. You could do Randy versus Edge when Edge comes back. We're expecting that to be, what, within the next month? It's hard to say, but I think either way, you get a good outcome, which is a difficult thing to usually get with WWE, which is probably why Retribution will come in and ruin it all.
And then the leader revealed is to be...
Alberto Carrillo.
Oh. Oh, Christ. It's going to end up being...
It'll be Bully Ray. It's always Bully Ray. Oh, ever God. Since Aces and Eights. I mean, that is a joke that only some people will get, but yes.
That was the most obvious reveal in the history of wrestling.
Yeah. And it was the most obvious reveal that made no sense. Why did he fight them for 3 months? 3 months just to get Brooke Hogan engaged and then say, ha, bitch. No, I'm actually not. What is the point, Bully Ray? Why? Oh, TNA just had some fucking tremendous times. But anyway, yeah.
That was so promising at the start, and then it turned.
Yeah, I know. It was incredible at the start. It was fantastic. And then it ends up with Garrett Bischoff and fucking Devon and Bully Ray. So weird.
Christ. I missed TNA. Oh my
God. I know, me too. That banter era.
100%. I've got it on YouTube and it just pops up all the time. Like, oh my God, I remember this. Right. To do what you'll say on this match? Not Bully Ray.
Sorry, I was on mute.
There we go.
Yeah, I've enjoyed the build up to this. As I said, the whole fact that the Legend Killer gimmick then leads to him getting a title shot has worked really well for me. Slight thing on the booking, I would have loved to see the Rick punt this past week's Raw on the Go-Home show opposed to the HBK one. I think they should have switched the punts. I think that would have been a really cool go home.
It was pretty plot sold twist as well, to be fair.
It really was. My thought process for this is probably my left field call for the night. I chose Pat McAfee, but anyway, I think that the punt kick was fake, and well, obviously the lights went out for it, and cheeky. I think that Ric Flair shows up and helps Randy Orton win the title. And they laugh at Drew because, haha, you thought that Randy would ever betray me. I'm the dirtiest player in the game and we just beat you. So I'm still going with Randy winning it, but the way he's winning it, I think, is Ric Flair coming back and showing that it was a ploy the whole time, him getting punted.
Maybe. I actually quite like that show. Maybe Retribution.
That could work.
Maybe Retribution work for Randy. And there's a little dweeb army.
That would make sense.
He doesn't like
Black Lives Matter turn. He's fully on board with the protests now.
Yes.
He's fully actions for them. There you go.
Yes.
The one thing, though, I think Randy with Rick seems a little... I don't know. I feel like you don't need Rick there. Not that he's not good, but you don't necessarily need Rick there. I think Rick serves better as another legend to be ticked off the box and to really drive Randy even further down the demented road than being a dirtiest player in the game. But I still wouldn't mind. Like, I would still quite like it if that happened, because I think that'd be a cool way to screw Drew over without necessarily making him look like an idiot. So ideally you can still leave Rick out of it, but yeah, I can see this going in a way. It's still, I think this is the best setup match for the night, to be fair.
I agree with that. I'm going to go Drew to win because I love Randy in this gimmick, but I don't see how he continues it as champion, because it's like, I know Edge isn't too far off, but I think this is the criticism we had before. It don't want Edge v Randy Orton for the WWE Championship. It doesn't need it. It really doesn't need it, especially in 2020. So I'm going to go Drew, but anything, like, from no contest to Retribution being Drew's fucking stable. I think this is the most open-ended one of the night, really. Unless we're going to have Poison Gate again. Jesus. So I'm going to go Drew to do what you said, Randy, didn't you? What are you going with, Alex?
Yep.
I don't know. Let's say Drew, but I wouldn't be surprised if it ends in no contest.
Going to end up like Drew and Randy v Retribution at paper.
Oh god, that's the one way they could ruin this. The one way.
Right. Somehow we've kept this to like an hour and a half or just over. Overall, good weekend.
Yeah, I think it will be fun, to be honest. It's not quite the SummerSlam bonanza we had planned, but we also planned crowds to be back. So again, I think I'm trying to remain not necessarily positive, but I'm trying to remain realistic with wrestling right now. None of it is very good because there is no crowds. So you take what you get in isolation and you see if they can make the best of it. WWE have been making the best of pay-per-views. They certainly have not, rather, been making the best of TV, but I have faith that these pay-per-views will be as good as they have been, at the very least, in ISO/quarantine/COVID era. And on the fact that we've gone through all the matches tonight, we've actually been relatively excited. I think it could be quite fun.
Same for you to do?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good weekend. There's AEW thrown in there as well because of the NBA playoffs. So they're going to be on Saturday. So that alone makes you think that NXT is going to bring it, regardless of how the card is shaped up or how it's on paper. The fact you know that there's another show on, the talent's going to want to show off. So that should be exciting. And then SummerSlam, look, the build-up hasn't been great. TV hasn't been great. But one thing we know is that these guys are really talented in the ring, the majority of them. So it's going to be a really good show. I've got actually pretty high standards, which is a dangerous thing to do with WWE, but I've got high standards for this weekend's wrestling.
SummerSlam's usually good. For me, I mean, Survivor Series is always good.
And by the way, Vince is going to be on our ass. It's SummerSlam. You'll never see it coming.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
We need to get that in
there. We didn't even mention the Thunderdome.
Legally, Vince
will sue us.
That means
for false advertising the pay-per-view.
That means the person who's in charge of Retribution is going to be like Triple H or something as a surprise.
Yeah, Sean. It's Sean. But it's Vince. The hostile takeover.
It's Vince.
The problem for me is, it can't be someone cool, because if it was Triple H, for example, he would not have allowed the BS that's happened on TV the last month.
Yeah, that's true.
Who's a dweeb?
Or if it's like a CM Punk or something. There's no way he's going to put his name to something like that. That's my only drawback.
It's Daniel Bryan. You could genuinely say it'd be Daniel Bryan.
I could genuinely
say that'd be the only thing that would save it at this point. Well, not the only thing, but I mean, that'd save it. If Daniel Bryan's like, right, I need to do hostile takeover. I mean, maybe. Well,
even if it's Nexus, because there was that, they were meant to come back for WrestleMania, some sort of WrestleMania angle, and then that kind of got stopped.
If it's Wade Barrett, that'll be amazing. That'd be so good. We haven't mentioned the Thunderdome, but meh.
It'll look cool. It'll probably be good.
But the news we have to finish up on, if you've not checked the WhatsApp group, it looks like Renee Young's finally leaving WWE after long-standing rumours. We know she has, is it ESPN who have offers on her and stuff? Nothing past that's been confirmed, but Renee Young leaving WWE, I imagine quite a few people's favourite presenter because she seems pretty sound. Alex, first to react to that?
She's going to be a brilliant presenter for Fox or ESPN. I imagine Fox because they've already got in with her. I think there was talk that they'd already offered her a job a few months ago. She definitely deserves better than the WWE. They don't really have anything for her. Yeah, good on her. Go to Fox and make money.
Yeah, I mean, today with backstage failing and getting cancelled, is this kind of always going to happen?
Yeah, and you could see she was really disappointed by it being cancelled. I thought backstage was the best way to keep her in the WWE, and the moment they cancelled that, I think she it's just one thing after another. Every single project she starts kind of gets cut off by WWE, and I can imagine that has been frustrating. You look back even to, I can't remember what the show, it was Unsomething.
Unfiltered.
Unfiltered, yes. She had that Unfiltered show, which I thought was really good. I stumbled upon it one day and ended up just following it throughout the season, and I enjoyed that. She then had Talking Smack with Daniel Bryan, and there were rumblings. Yeah, and there were rumblings that Talking Smack is being brought back, and I wonder if that was the last ditch effort to try and keep her on board.
Yeah,
and to say no, don't worry, we'll bring Talking Smack back. But I think it's just one straw that broke the camel's that final straw. Mm. A shame for backstage. I thought she hosted it really well. She, you know, even after the pandemic, she was still spearheading the show. It's just, it was put at a time that it was never going to work on a Tuesday late at night where there's no wrestling going on leading up to it or anything like that. I just thought it was a really poor decision from them. If they were going to do the show,
it was difficult for us to watch as well overseas.
At least do it like as a lead up to SmackDown or post SmackDown show. They butchered it on that end. And then in terms of where she goes, I really hope it's an ESPN or a Fox. I think she would knock it out the park. Also, curiously, I mentioned in the group a while ago, Charlie's been on ESPN a lot because I do watch the ESPN shows. She's been on First Take hosting, and I don't know how long it's been, but almost every single Friday she's been the host of First Take. And I'm sitting there thinking, why the hell didn't they put Renee there? She would have been the first person in the company they should have nominated. And maybe that's another thing that Renee got frustrated by, that look, you guys had a chance to suggest someone to go onto First Take. This is one of my dream job type things. Scenarios, how is my name not on that list and how am I not on that show? So
maybe
she only gave her notice a week ago.
True.
So I don't know, but I really hope she does land somewhere and gets a really cool gig. And then also just a last comment on WWE, they're hosting virtual meet and greets this weekend, but it's like $125 for like 2 minutes with the talent. So if anyone wants
there's no chance of creepy dudes trying to hug Alexa Bliss and Becky Lynch and all that.
Yeah,
that's the stars will probably feel a bit awkward, but it's definitely less awkward than having to deal with friggin' meet and greets in real life, I imagine.
Yeah.
And if there's any way we can end this podcast, it's don't be a creep. If there's anything we've learned from this week, it's stop being creepy to people online. Just take a freaking second to look at yourself, say, is this all right? And the chances are, if you have to ask that question, it's not. So stop being creeps.
Yes. That's literally the way to end it, because regardless of pay-per-view, that is the most important thing this week in wrestling. Christ, thankfully nothing too serious happened, which obviously could have happened. Best of luck to Renee Young, and thankfully Sonya and Mandy are physically fine. We don't know mentally, obviously. But that's where we'll finish up. So thank you everyone for listening again for a long one, but two shows, all that jazz. And thank you two for joining me as usual. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.